on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal, Spaz Phoenix with YWC Reality Check, and this is NXT Vengeance Day Preview for 2024. Now, there's been a lot of content on this channel in the past couple of weeks. Rumble season will do that to you. Me doing TNA again will do that to you. The ever-evolving rumors of WWE TNA crossover will do that to you. I mean, we're in WrestleMania season. There's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of bullshit. Haven't talked about NXT in a while because there hasn't been a show yet. We've had our first WWE show. We've had our first TNA show. We're getting our first NXT show. And that's all there is, right? Right. So, I start every single one of these previews talking about, oh, this person and that person, don't really know what they're doing, but hey, it all depends if this person's getting called up, that person's being called up. Now, we had all kinds of cameos in the Royal Rumble. Now, obviously, bigger stories, Jade Cargill's debut, Andrade coming back, Naomi coming back, the Jordan Grace crossover I thought was a lot of fun as well. Liv Morgan coming back from injury, let's not let that go under the radar either. But you had Tiffany Stratton, you had Roxanne Perez, you had Braun Breaker, you had Carmelo Hayes. You didn't have Trick Williams on SmackDown, or sorry, you didn't have Trick Williams in the Rumble, but you had him make a cameo on SmackDown because Carmelo Hayes had a match on SmackDown. He's kind of been pulling double duty. But the rumor is, Tiffany Stratton, who's not on this show, so it doesn't really factor in, has so impressed the main roster bookers that they want her on Monday Night Raw within the next month. And rightfully so, a couple of different people, shout out to Stephanie Hypes, who mentioned this on X either today or last night, were they not paying attention until now? Tiffany Stratton is fucking awesome. Entering the Rumble via Swanton Bomb onto the whole field was one of the more underrated, I would say, spots of the Ladies Rumble. And the Ladies Rumble, let's be real for a second, had more news to it. Like I say, the return of Naomi, the return of Liv Morgan, the crossover of Jordan Grace as the TNA champion. She's rumored to go to the show in the next month or so. I'm willing to hang my hat on Roxanne Perez will be on the main roster before WrestleMania. I'm just saying. And as I'm recording this on Thursday, rumors have been circulating all day that for Friday, when you guys are listening to this, our SmackDown tonight, it's rumored that Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes, and Braun Breaker have all been told be ready and available for Friday night SmackDown. Now, I'm gonna do more on this in the WWE last week when we get to that at the end of the weekend. But obviously, Andrade signed for Raw, which led to a conversation between Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis, and then Nick Aldis had to answer a telephone call from Braun Breaker. That would lend itself to Braun Breaker definitely showing up on SmackDown. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Carmelo Hayes has been doing stuff, like. I don't want to make that as a blunt statement, but like he's been crossing over with SmackDown for some weeks now. Trick Williams has only shown up on SmackDown once, but he's associated with Carmelo Hayes. So when Carmelo Hayes is on SmackDown, the commentators are talking about Carmelo Hayes and his partner Trick Williams. So he's in the conversation already. So what does that leave us with on the show? I've rambled for quite long enough. The Family, Tony D, Stax, and The Riz taking on OTM, which is Lucien Price, Bronco Nima, and Jada Parker with Scripts in their corner. Now, a couple of things right off the bat. The Family are the babyface mafiosos of NXT, so I would have really liked it if they had gotten a random high flyer to join them for the night so that Scripts could be in the match as well. This match suffers quite a bit because The Family are the champions. Why aren't they defending their championships? So, like, there's an elephant in the room, so to speak. Now, it's a really boring answer, as far as I'm concerned. You don't want to be handing out a random tag team championship opportunity to OTM when later on in the card you've got two teams fighting to win the Dusty Rhodes Classic, which is supposed to be a big deal, but also gets you a title shot. Like, we went through a whole tournament to get it, and these guys are getting it before us. Doesn't make sense. So I get why they do a non-title match, and I get why, to draw the attention off of the fact that it's a non-title match, that you want to make it a six-person match, an intergender match, whatever. But if that's the case, then throw an extra person in there with the family. Is Du Dimes even in AEW anymore? What's his deal? Like, he could be back in there, whatever the case may be. Also, and I hate to say it because I know what this is going to sound like, they've made it an intergender match by adding The Riz and Jada Parker, who I could not be paid to give a fuck about. I'm not going to lie to you. OTM, that entire gimmick can fuck off. Because it's so... I don't want to say this in the same vein that I say about Eddie Kingston. But this is a cartoon drawing of what badass gangsters are like. It is. Like, Eddie Kingston is a cartoon drawing of what Tony Khan thinks a badass is. Similar thing, right? So, OTM, as an act, is kind of lame. They're led by Scripts, who was Reggie, who was Carmella's sommelier, who was the Cirque du Soleil guy that had to job a lot to trash a Banks because WWE wanted to say, look, we can do intergender wrestling where it's really just propaganda where women get to beat up men. It's fine. So he was a goofball with a goofball gimmick, and then he got his ass handed to him by Sasha Banks, which is no mean feat. And then they brought him in as, like, luchador Scripts with the mask, and everybody knew exactly who he was. And now he's a tough ass. Which is fine. He's interesting to watch in the ring. I couldn't care less about the character. But Scripps, when he's in the ring, is a really interesting guy. Like I say, all credit to him on the legitimate side of things for the Cirque du Soleil and some of the acrobatic stuff that he can do. It's awesome. So that's why I'm saying throw a random luchador, like throw Axiom in there with the family for the night and just make it a pile of people matches. Because those are fun. I don't care about the Riz because... How can I come around back to this? The women are in this match, and I say this with a lot of regret because the women's division in NXT is stacked, so I shouldn't be saying this about the women's division in NXT. But the women are in here to make it a six-person tag to take away from the fact that why aren't the champions defending their championships? Which is fine, except for the fact that up until a couple weeks ago, The Riz was a background character in the mob family sketch stuff, and then we introduced her, and we only introduced Jada Parker to OTM so that they could have a female member so that they could do this mixed tag match. I want to say OTM are the new act, they're the fresh act, they're trying to establish them, they probably need the win, but I don't care about them, and Tony D and Stax are champions who are going to be looking towards challengers that are coming out of the Dusty Cup, so I'm pretty sure they're going to give the win to OTM as sort of like a building block thing. They're going to have the numbers advantage with Scripts on the outside unless somebody randomly shows up to help the family. They're probably going to do the building block thing of giving OTM a win and think it's okay because it wasn't a title match. I don't agree, personally. The family should win this, but it's the slightest thread of me being able to care. Apparently there's no kickoff for the show tonight, on Sunday. But if there was a kickoff, I would slide this to the kickoff and give everybody else a little bit more time. And I hate saying that, because Tony D and Stax are an enjoyable gimmick, and they are the tag champions. But this ain't it. The guys, you know, out there throwing dice in a very fake-looking alleyway because, you know, gangsta stuff. It ain't hitting, bro. It ain't hitting. Like, the mafioso stuff in the restaurant with all the Italian stereotypes, which are terrible, let's be real for a second. They're not great either, but at least they lean into it. If that makes any sense at all. I don't know. I don't want to be going into an NXT show being like, I don't care about this match. So let's talk about something fun instead. Dijak and Joe Gacy. And this was only announced this week. We're going to get Dijak and Joe Gacy in a no disqualification match after attempted murder when Joe Gacy was thrown off the roof of the Performance Center into the dumpster, which gave everybody flashbacks of COVID times when the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits fought in the bin until there was a bin monster. So, Joe Gacy, he's got something here. And I know I say that a lot about Joe Gacy, but I think he's just that kind of character. I'm hesitant to make Bray Wyatt comparisons because I really don't want to make comparisons to somebody who's just passed away, and I don't think they're on the same level, but I see similarities. There is an unsettledness about Joe Gacy, even though he's not doing the SJW stuff anymore, which was awesome. He's not doing the cult stuff anymore, which they had to do to pull away from the SJW stuff because the SJWs complained. He's not doing that anymore. The Dyad are back to being the Grizzled Young Veterans on TNA. They're having a best of three series with Ace and Bay starting tonight, which I'm going to be watching as soon as I'm done with this. So go check out what they're doing because they're back to being the Grizzled Young Vets. And Ava, she's got no surname, she's The Rock's daughter, is now the youngest ever general manager of NXT, which is strange in its own right. So Joe Gacy, quite literally, is on a wandering path to see what his next thing is. And his next thing is just being creepy and trying to be creepy to Dijak. He headbutted him during a match a couple weeks ago, and then they had a brawl around the Performance Center, which, as I said, ended up with him being thrown in the dumpster. Ava, she's got no surname, she's The Rock's daughter, told off Dijak for doing it, and he said, well, I've caused you all this havoc tonight, so now give me a match at the pay-per-view, which is definitely how wrestling works. And she said, of course not. You're not going to get rewarded for, like, almost killing a guy. And then Joe Gacy popped up like Oscar the fucking Grouch and said, oh, no DQ match? That sounds like fun. Maniac smile on his face. Now, I've already invoked the name of Bray Wyatt. I'm going to invoke the name of Mick Foley as well, which is probably another unfair comparison, to be fair. Mick Foley could be incredibly funny with a little bit of maniac behind the funniness. And then the funny could gradually slip away and all you had left was the maniac. I really hope that that's what we get this Sunday. I have to actually get used to the fact that I'm saying Sunday because Saturday pay-per-views are becoming such a thing now. But I really hope that's what we get from Joe Gacy. I haven't seen Joe... Apparently, Joe Gacy is a fantastic technical wrestler outside of NXT. I haven't bothered to look because this is the context I'm watching him in right now. Dijak is just hilarious. Dijak is the Terminator, the same way I say Steve Macklin in TNA is the Punisher. Like, he's definitely... He's just... Give me some sunglasses. Give me a long coat. Let me come out in all the black and white imagery and all that. People still think he's trying to be Kenny Omega because he comes out with sunglasses. And I don't get it. I'm not even going to say anything bad about Kenny Omega himself because obviously he's out with the diverticulitis, which I don't know enough about to comment. But, like, regardless of my feelings of Kenny Omega and AEW, obviously you don't want to see anybody get sick. Just like you don't want to see anybody get injured. For the punk haters out there, for the Charlotte haters out there, stop being fucking weird, go out, touch grass, take a breath of fresh air, it won't kill you, I promise. I don't have anything against Kenny Omega to the point where I hope he is injured or sick and never able to wrestle again, because that's fucked up. So this is not directed at Kenny Omega. But other people wear sunglasses and fuck off. I like Dijak, he's just, like, he's come back from Retribution. And that, in and of itself, is a feat. He's come back from his first run in NXT, where I thought he was incredibly boring because all they did, and no offense to Keith Lee either, but they just kept putting them together. I think because on Raw, at around the same time, they kept on putting Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black together, and they were having bangers. They were the reliable banger on Monday Night Raw. I think they thought they had that with Keith Lee and Dijak as well, but that just got really played out. So he came back from that. He came back from that disappointment. He came back from Retribution. He came back to NXT to rebuild himself, and he's got himself into, like I say, this Terminator mode that he's in now, and that's fine. He's like the immovable object to Joe Gacy's crazy force, if I want to paraphrase a little bit there. Whatever they're doing with Joe Gacy has to take center stage on Sunday, so he's got to get the win. And Dijak, for what he is right now, doesn't get hurt by a loss, because he'll just see it as an injustice, and he'll wave his baton around, which is absolutely fine. Obafemi versus Dragon Lee for Obafemi's NXT North American Championship. Dragon Lee's gonna die. That's what's gonna happen. like, he punched him out of midair on NXT this week. He destroyed him in, like, 3 seconds when he cashed in. I guess they're using the breakout tournament contracts now as, like, NXT's version of Money in the Bank, which is fine. But the dude is huge. The dude is wicked athletic. His whole story about how he went to a fortune teller and she foretold him carrying his weight in gold and, like, bringing pride to... I think he's from Nigeria? Am I wrong about that? Somebody put it down in the box below. But, like, bringing pride to himself, bringing pride to his homeland, I am destined for greatness, all those types of things. But he speaks and he promos in such a way that what would typically be a corny idea, it's not the first time. Drew McIntyre was the chosen one. Like, it was corny at the time because he wasn't ready to step into that role. And I only say that because he said it himself. But Obafemi, coming through the tournament there and destroying fools and then destroying and picking up the North American Championship from Dragon Lee. And Dragon Lee is great. He's already been brought up to the main roster, kind of. Like, he got his debut on the main roster and then came back to do more NXT stuff, like, right away. So part of that, I have to believe, is what happened to Wesley. You know, Wesley, Dragon Lee, and their brother Brocco. Yep, I'm just stealing Adam Wilborn jokes at this point. I really don't care. So whatever he's doing here has staggered whatever they were planning on doing with him on SmackDown. I'm pretty sure he was going to be another member of the LWO before the LWO split story happened, but that could still be a thing. My point in all this being, he's a SmackDown superstar. He doesn't need to be a champion. He won't lose anything by being destroyed on an NXT pay-per-view because he's clearly not an NXT guy anymore. Which is fine. Obafemi's gonna chuck him around like an empty tracksuit, and he's gonna maintain his NXT North American Championship, and good for him. We've only seen him a little bit. We've only seen him in the breakout tournament and, like, two other matches so far, so he's right at the, like, the first footstep of his NXT journey. Pick up a title on one of your first matches. Not a bad way to start out. Now, Lyra Valkyria versus Roxanne Perez. Couple of different stories here. Roxanne Perez is pretty much the only one in the rumors, like Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, Braun Breaker, Tiffany Stratton. She's the only name that I haven't really heard spoken about directly as far as a call-up, and she's the most experienced one and probably the one that should be called up. Technically, on paper, it's babyface versus babyface, but Lyra Valkyria has help that she doesn't want from Tatum Paxley, who's doing the, like, star-crossed fangirl. She's basically being goth Mickey James, which I have absolutely no problem with, and Lyra Valkyria is just sort of put off by it. So she's coming into the match pissed off, but not at Roxanne Perez. Roxanne Perez, they've sort of been playing up this, like, anger issues thing, and she's really got something to prove, and that something to prove element is sort of pushing her, not into heely actions yet, but into heely attitudes. So something's got to give, and one of them's got to be pissed off, because these two, as a babyface versus babyface match, I don't really get. I can't really wrap my head around it. So I'm assuming Roxanne Perez is going to have some kind of heel turn, and then Lyra Valkyria will have vanquished the heel, and then they'll do whatever they're doing with Lyra Valkyria and Tatum Paxley, which is absolutely fine. But I don't think the way that you call Roxanne Perez up to the main roster is to have her go and struggle and become the Iron Survivor and do whatever else she's done to get herself, because she won the Women's Battle Royal, which was basically set up by Lyra Valkyria, because we didn't have Ava with no surname, she's The Rock's daughter, as the general manager yet. So she's done the right, like, she put down her championship for personal reasons, and they sort of tiptoed around that as tastefully as they could, and she's scratched and clawed her way back up. She's seen some adversity along the way, which has made her a bit frustrated, but I don't think having her turn heel, lose to the champion, and then leave the brand in one fell swoop, I don't think that does anything. It doesn't set her up for the call-up, and it's a pretty wet fart way for her to leave NXT. So I don't know what they do here. I don't want Lyra to drop the championship, because I do want her to be the champion when this thing between her and Tatum Paxley goes off. Because Tatum Paxley, haven't seen her very much in the ring. She's mostly been doing character stuff, but her character stuff has been great. So let's go with it. I'm going to go with Lyra, but I'm going to go with Lyra with the caveat of I don't know what they do with Roxanne Perez. Okay. Finals of the Dusty Classic. Finals of the Men's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Fighting for not only the cup, obviously, but also a shot at the family's tag team championships. Baron Corbin, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams. There's a lot of stories going on here. And I mean, like, stories like outside of wrestling and stories inside of wrestling. Baron Corbin was in the first Dusty Classic with Rhino. And Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker has a very Baron Corbin and Rhino feel to it. It does have, like, half of this team has a throwback element to it. Bron Breakker's kind of an asshole. Baron Corbin's kind of an asshole. They've bonded over being assholes. Awesome. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams will be a match at Stand and Deliver. I don't know exactly how we get there. We're teasing the dissension, whatever the case may be. Carmelo Hayes has already branched out into SmackDown, leaving Trick Williams behind, I guess you could say. Carmelo Hayes is upset with Trick Williams that he's booked himself double duty tonight because he's got the world title match as well. But Trick Williams also said, yeah, but you just shot your shot at the Rumble, so you've got other things on the mind as well. So I don't know how this goes, and I'm going to loop this into the main event, which is Ilya Dragunov versus Trick Williams. I'm predicting, because Trick Williams is in the main event, I'm predicting that the Men's Dusty Classic final is going to be the first match of the night to, on a very real note, give Trick Williams enough time to have the first match, come back, have whatever fallout there is from that, and for the person behind Trick Williams to actually rest up and get ready to perform again at a world title level. But I don't know what we do here, because Baron Corbin is a main roster guy that came back to NXT. Bron Breakker is showing up on SmackDown on Friday. Today, like when you guys listen to this, we're going to see him tonight on SmackDown. Probably. Same thing for Carmelo Hayes. Same thing for Trick Williams. So I don't know what we do here. I don't think Trick's getting called up. But who has anything to gain here? Are they going to put the tag team titles on Carmelo and Trick and have Carmelo be a SmackDown guy and a tag team champion while his protege goes on to become the world champion, respectfully? Are they going to have Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker, which once again sends us into another year of Bron Breakker's definitely being called up. Oh no, wait, he's not. We're just giving him a different direction. Baron Corbin can stay there. Baron Corbin on NXT is awesome. Don't even worry about it. There's no good answer here. And the other thing is, yeah, the Dusty Rhodes Classic has always been like sort of thrown together tag team. I mean, Baron Corbin, Bron Breakker is thrown together. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams have always been associated, but they are two associated singles guys. Carmelo got the mid-card title. Carmelo got the main title. Trick Williams had the North American Championship. Trick Williams now has his shot at the NXT World Championship. They were never really a tag team in the title sense up until this Dusty Classic, which was designed for them to fall apart. I don't really want Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams to be the tag team champions, because we know they're going to fight each other at Stand and Deliver. If they don't fight at Stand and Deliver, I'll eat my hat. And I'm not even wearing a hat right now, for those of you wondering, even though this is an audio platform. Remember when I started out all my videos and I was like, me, it's Spaz Phoenix, the super sexy face and the gimmick hat. I still have the gimmick hat somewhere, from the Taz show. But yeah, Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker would be fun as champions for a little while. But again, it keeps Bron Breakker, when we thought Bron Breakker was getting called up last year. We thought Bron Breakker was getting called up after his title feud with Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler, who's now Nick Nemeth, who's now going on to face Trey Miguel and Steve Maclin and pursue Moose over in TNA, which is awesome. Go check it out. I'm going to use this as a plug spot. If you're not watching TNA, go watch some TNA. It's fine. I'm going to say Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker win, but I don't feel good about it. And I don't know who's going where. And that overlaps right into Ilya Dragunov versus Trick Williams. Because what I can see is if Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker win the Dusty Cup, and they're the ones that get a tag team title shot, if that's the moment that the Red Mist descends and Carmelo Hayes turns on Trick Williams and they have a fight, Trick Williams gets injured, oh my god, am I going to make it to the main event, yes or no? He fights through the match, he has the match with Ilya Dragunov. Ilya Dragunov is lost in the shuffle in the story about his championship, which is also not ideal. But if Carmelo Hayes, because Ilya Dragunov's not getting called up anytime soon, and I don't really want him to lose the championship anytime soon. But if Carmelo Hayes, I'm walking myself through this now as you guys are listening to me. If Carmelo Hayes turns on Trick Williams because they lost the Dusty Classic, he then goes into the main event and costs Trick Williams the world title. That's what leads them to Stand and Deliver. Trick Williams beats Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes goes to the main roster. Trick Williams works his way back to Ilya Dragunov. He wins the title off Dragunov sometime later on in the year, which lets Ilya Dragunov come up to the main roster, possibly to feud with Gunther. I think I just talked myself into this. Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker are going to win the Dusty Cup. They're going to go take on the family, and we're going to set off everything else from there. Does it mean Bron Breakker's still staying in NXT for another year? Yeah, but I think it's the best of all sides. So, yeah. I want the family to win. I don't think they're going to. I want Joe Gacy to win. I think he will. Obafemi's going to eat Dragon Lee's lunch. Lyra Valkyria is going to walk out as your women's championship holder, and I don't know what they do with Roxanne Perez. After talking myself through it, as you guys just heard, Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker, the assholes, the wolf dogs, or whatever they're calling themselves, are going to beat Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. I predict at that point, Carmelo Hayes turns on Trick Williams. I predict later on in the night, Carmelo Hayes comes back to batter an already injured Trick Williams to cost him his shot at Ilya Dragunov and the championship. Cost him the title. Cost him the gold that he helped Carmelo get not that long ago. And then we are set from Monday morning onward to Stand and Deliver, where we get Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, which, sorry to Ilya Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams is going to main event that show over whoever's going for the title. That's my prediction. That's some bold predictions. That's more predictions than just this show. You never know what you're going to get on this show, other than NXT is awesome. I'm going to plug TNA. That seems to be my 2024 thing. And I'm going to take the odd dig at AEW, but not because Kenny has diverticulitis, because I'm not an asshole. I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation, keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you later, but for right now, I am tagging it.